I never forget the first moment when I walked into a cinema. I was hooked from there on.
We missed last week, but we're back now that Jason has returned from his holiday in
Don't
Portugal.
Ever leave again.
I was enjoying a Philip.
Oh my.
Hello.
Right.
Anyway. Vocabulary gags, and we're only 20 seconds in.
Anywho, now that we're back in fighting form, what did you watch while you were away in the last 2 weeks?
Well, I didn't watch a movie when I was away for the whole week, actually, because I was reading for most of it. But I did manage to catch up with a couple of films at the cinema today.
Ooh, do
they
tell.
Were, in order, Master of the Stars, Mr. Cronenberg's new film, which is, and I remember thinking of your review, and after thinking about it, it's a bit of incestuous nastiness, isn't it?
It is really nasty, and that's what I love about it.
It strikes you, it rings true, which is the thing about it. It takes like things like nepotism to the farthest point you can have it of it, and it has that kind of generational thing of actors, you know, begetting actors, and then the hatred between generations, and people are forgotten two generations down. It touches on all that kind of thing. Films like Sunset Boulevard have already touched on and things like that. It builds on great foundations and adds a little more to it. And it's scathing.
Julianne Moore is clearly channeling Norma Desmond.
Yes, she is. I mean, definitely. And
one
channels her very well. She's insanely brilliant. Vera Shkafka is really, really good.
Yeah.
We won't... I'm not a Patterson fan. He only has a handful of scenes in it, relatively speaking.
And I tell you, thankful.
He's not very good. I'm sorry, he's just not very good, people. Stop putting him up there for films.
But you know who is? John Cusack.
John Cusack is, he's kind of stopped. Hang on a second, let's stop these generic B movies that we make for the last 5 years and let's get into something good. And he reminds you that he can do really good things. He just seems to have forgotten to do them.
Like a lot of actors, he just needs a good director.
Yeah, and
Cronenberg,
this is Cronenberg flexing his muscle again. It feels like there's a bit of a weight off and he's getting back to something that's maybe not necessarily familiar, but some the kind of feel of it is familiar to old kind of Cronenberg.
He's getting
type.
Gooey again.
Yeah, and there's a lot of, if you're even talking about body horror, Hollywood's the place for body horror in the context of trying to literally prepping the body and the things you do to make yourself stay in the business to do, like there's all kinds of things.
Yeah.
Even the kind of therapy in it is very physical, it's very touchy, it's very elongating of skin and stuff. Yeah. There's a lot of that kind of going on. But it's not the kind of the horror, but there is an element of it. It's lovely in a sense.
Great performances all around, I must say. Especially the young guy, Evan Bird, playing the teen star.
He's very good. He's very, very good. I suspect he just sort of had that kind of, and now I don't know if this is the case, but I had this kind of, he had people coming in auditioning to whittle down to get the right guy for this. So he actually might have, he could well be in something before that, but he's very, very good.
His first scene, I thought you had AIDS. Mm. Oh, it's really...
Oh, the hospital, yeah. And
creepy
then,
stuff.
And how he treats the kind of agent with him. It's, some choice words. It's a really interesting film. Actually, one I'm already looking forward to watching again.
Dead
kind of dig into it a little bit more.
Yeah. There's a lot to chew on there. It's excellent.
Yeah. No, there is. There really is.
And the other one today?
My follow-up was Magic in the Moonlight.
Woody!
It's Woody. This is interesting. I'm a huge Alan fan. I've been going to see Alan films in the cinema for about 25 years, give or take.
You may have mentioned this previously.
Did I?
Your fandom, yes.
Yes,
I know, Niall, do you recall?
Probably, yeah. No, I would imagine so. Would have been mentioned. I mean, he says is enough off.
You can go back through all our other podcasts and see if he has discussed this. We highly recommend.
Well, if I have, let me tell you all again. I'm always looking forward to a new Woody Allen film. The familiar credits come up with the old classic music, and I'm like, I mean, it's like, yes, a new Woody Allen film. Having said that...
what about Magic in the Moonlight, then?
Magic in the Moonlight is a kind of enjoyable failure, I think it's this. Now, I'm still kind of processing. I'm only out of something pretty much a half an hour or so. Hmm. It starts off abysmally, and like the first half an hour or so, it's just chunky, clunky dialogue delivered by actors who look like they haven't rehearsed, they haven't heard the words before they stepped on set, and my heart started to sink, and I was going, oh God, this is going to be really, really awful. This is going to be one of the awful, non-funny ones. But it kind of picks up midway through, but Emma Stone really helps in that regard. She's very good.
Niall, delighted.
Firth is good, but he's probably miscast. If somebody else would use these lines, they kind of come across as bullying when he uses them a little more than. There's a line, and it oversteps a little bit.
Yeah, he's quite forceful. The presence is an act.
But again, he kind of settles in around the midway mark. So the film kind of starts really badly, and it picks up, and then by the end of it, it actually kind of works, and to the point where you go, "Oh, thank God!" I mean, it's not Alan's finest, but it was a very diverting 90 odd minutes, and some couple of good gags, and a nice idea about touching on the idea of belief and non-belief, which is obviously an Alan staple for many, many years. But he gets into the whole idea that can you change? Can you possibly? Is there any point in life if you don't believe in anything, stuff like that? And even touches on even the prayer at one point, which is very un-Alan.
Very un-Alan.
So it's an interesting film. I think it's not a patch on Blue Jasmine, which is his finest film in a long time, and one of my favorite films last year. But it's okay. It's just about okay, and a lot better than the first 30 minutes led me to believe. I thought, oh, good God, it's going to be bad.
That seems to be going along with the consensus on this one. Fine.
For once, I'm happy to go along with the consensus.
For once.
Well, it's just this time.
Very good. Philip, yes.
What did you watch this last 2 weeks?
To be honest, we've been quite busy with work and other things, so I haven't had a lot of time. But one thing I did see in anticipation of my journey to the London Film Festival next week.
Are you going to the London Film Festival next week, Phil?
Yes, I am, but we'll talk more of that later. One thing I did rewatch was Peter Strickland's Barbarian Sound Studio. Now, if anybody hasn't seen it, this is a really unsettling and really well-made homage to Italian giallos and a worthy nod to the art of Foley and creating sound effects. It certainly won't be to everyone's taste. It was marketed as a kind of psychological horror. Well, as a horror, first and foremost, and it is entirely psychological. So the lack of any kind of big boom moments or anything like that will turn some people off. But the atmosphere, the design, the performances, and yet the sounds are just intoxicating to watch.
I would agree with you, and I would be one of those people that were kind of led down the garden path a little bit initially when I'd seen it. And I liked it, but I thought it was a little overrated. I hadn't come back to it yet in that regard to kind of knowing what I know going in, and you're right about it. I think the sound effects are great. Yeah. Even the creation of sound effects within the film.
Yeah.
The visuals.
So many representations. So many poor watermelons sacrificed.
Yeah. And it's great to see. And there's violence within that, like that, kind of to create those sounds, which always add to that kind of tone. Yeah.
It's just a wonderful thing, because it's a side of filmmaking that a lot of people just might not be aware of.
It never gets its due.
It never does. I mean, you know, on screen, you want to snap a woman's neck, you just pull the pull the leaves out of a radish. Something simple as that.
It's correct, another thing, isn't it? Toby Jones.
The ever wonderful Toby
Rarely Jones. Gets the leading role, but my God, he can kill it when he does.
Yeah. Well, he got one big lead role once upon a time, and Philip Seymour Hoffman beat him to it. Yeah. Oh, well.
Such is life.
But there you go. Niall, what about you?
I've been on a little bit of a comic book binge.
What? Yeah. Well, you took a break from all those 30s Romanian films that you are a huge fan of.
You weren't around, someone had to.
Sorry.
Well, one of the things that I watched, and I'll come back to the comic book, was I rewatched South Park the movie.
Isn't it great?
It's marvelous.
I was going to sing a song about it. Maybe not. We'll keep this PG.
Yeah.
Shut your beeping face, Uncle Beeper. La 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 la.
It's Uncle Beeper.
It's the declaration of war on Canada.
Blame Canada. Blame Canada. And
all the Baldwins are dead.
Because when Canada is gone, there'll be no more Celine Dion.
It's the greatest musical ever made for me.
Wow.
That's
all I can say. Wow.
It is astonishing. The songs are amazing. They're brilliant. They're brilliantly constructed and right fit within the fabric of the film perfectly. But Robin Williams did at the Oscars as well.
It's hilarious.
I'd never stop laughing at it.
Saddam Hussein is the devil's Gale over.
Have you heard of the Emancipation Proclamation? I don't listen to hip-hop.
Bill Gates got walked out to be shot in the head. I thought we'd race 5 times faster.
Kenny goes up to heaven and then he's rejected and sends straight down to hell.
Saddam Hussein and Satan's pillow talk. Why do you only ever think about sex?
I love you.
Come on, guy. Oh God! He's like, the whole podcast special.
Why do you always take me from behind, Saddam? Isn't it that you're thinking of somebody else? You're a god of gigantic big red eyes. Who could I think of?
Oh man,
it's a wonderful thing.
Yeah. No, it's very, very clever. They really take advantage of the fact that the censorship is not quite as high.
Completely let off the leash.
Yeah. Just go nuts.
It's so great.
You guys, my behind is killing me. I have to say behind because I can't say.
Yeah.
Oh, so I need to rewatch that.
You do.
That.
I watched it a little while ago as well. That's a great, great, great one to go back to.
So I also watched the original Iron Man 1, Thor, and Batman Begins.
Oh, it's all your fault, isn't it? With the exception of Batman Begins.
And Guardians of the Galaxy.
It is still in the top 10, isn't it? It's all his bloody fault.
How many times is that now?
5, 6?
We do not condone Niall's behaviour.
If you were also like Niall and in need of some urgent help, there'd be a phone line to put at the end of the podcast there.
Oh, dear. If you've been affected by any of the issues raised in Guardians of the Galaxy...
I have.
I will say one thing. Batman Begins. Fine choice.
Yeah, Batman Begins last night.
Arguably the finest Batman. Arguably. With the exception of perhaps the Lego movie. But that's another story.
Ooh.
Yeah.
It's a contest between Ace and the Dark Knight.
Yeah.
It is.
But I love...
Batman Begins is...
Just to tell an origin story, it does it.
It does it without it feeling like a lumbered origin story, which is kind of a real skill.
Because that's a rare thing.
Let's plow through this. And the talk, and I don't know if you're talking about the rumors of the Spider-Man reboot again.
What?
Yeah, there's rumors that they're reboot already. No,
they're going to reboot Spider-Man as part of the Sinister Six film that they're working on, and the Venom movie allegedly has been scrapped. This is what the rumors came out yesterday.
Yeah.
And that Spider-Man is going to be allowed into the Marvel Universe as well.
This stinks of desperation.
This sounds farcical.
Spider-Man's one of the Avengers. He's so...
Oh, they just conveniently remembered.
Well, it's not...
Do you know who we should have called last time?
It's not so...
Oh, he could have helped us with all those webs. Yes.
No, but in the comics, Spider-Man is part of the Avengers, and so is Wolverine. But Sony don't know what the hell they're doing.
They don't.
Fox have more of an idea of what they're doing with X-Men. DC have
until I saw the last
no idea what they're doing.
Until I saw the last 10 minutes of X-Men for Days of Future Past, I didn't think Fox did. But there you go.
But I tell you, we talked about this a little while ago on the earlier podcast about the kind of Sony's plans for it, and we kind of flagged that it looked shaky at best.
Well, the delay of 3 and 4, because they had already given 3 and 4 release dates, and then the delay of them pending the release of Sinister Six and Venom.
It's very worrying if you're...
How do you do a villain film without the hero? It's a bold move.
But if you could do it right, all well enough, like it's a risk that could pay off. But it doesn't seem well thought out, the whole... situation.
No. We have a TV series at the moment that's only started recently, Gotham, which is Batman without Batman.
Well, I haven't seen that. It's very good.
Well, it's no Garfield without Garfield. You still
that's true.
Absolutely.
Very true.
I would agree.
But
that is just that is just
existentially
it minds the depths of existential angst like nothing I've read in a long
brilliant.
Time.
It is brilliant.
Fantastic.
But yeah, no Batman Gotham has some problems. It starts messy because
it's an origin story.
Camera work is problematic. Well, that's an origin story is not so much, but they seem to be trying to introduce way too many elements. So in the very first episode, you meet the Riddler and Catwoman and Bruce Wayne and...
They couldn't wait 6 episodes.
Yeah, no, and Penguin. And, you know, so it's just like, oh, Lord God. Why is there, and Poison Ivy as well. How many of them do you need to meet in the first episode?
Are they all in Gotham at one point? Yeah. I thought, like, the, you know, somebody came later or something.
You would assume.
This all,
yeah. Well, Harvey Dent's coming into it, and there's a dot.
This all sounds so rushed and far-fetched. This sounds like the problems I had with Hannibal, really. But, yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, so Gotham, I mean, it could do what Agents of the S.H.I.E.L.D. did and actually turn around halfway through.
They generally kind of do get better because initially it's kind of, exactly.
So Flash is now coming to offshoot of Arrow, so that would be interesting to see how that goes. But anyway, I've been on a comic book binge and I probably will continue for a while. Yes, I... Now that
right up until the release of Iron Man 4.
Yes, which may or may not be happening.
After the four trucks of money packed outside of the studio, take it all. Yeah. Have a studio.
And Flash, I say as well.
Yeah. This is a Flash TV series. This is a spin-off of Arrow.
I heard Arrow's good, though.
Arrow is good.
I haven't watched it yet, though.
I knew a guy named Flash. He got 12 months. Anyway. Sorry, that was a Morecambe and Wise gag, but I had to use it.
Nice.
Flash is also the first name of a character in Spider-Man. There is no...
Don't give them ideas, they'll just...
Flash.
Not that Flash. No. Flash Thompson is in Spider-Man. He's in the original Spider-Man.
Of course he was.
Enough comic talk. Let's move.
Let's move on to the news. And
dun,
so...
Dun, 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 dun. News jingle there. <Jeez. laughs> I'm on this evening. What can I say?
I don't know what you're on, but...
Sure.
Yeah, you might. Yeah, pass it around.
We just mentioned that because Within a Lie got a limited but welcome re-release in cinemas last weekend, and it is expanding this weekend. Go see, people.
And I will hope to actually get to see in the cinema because I've never have, despite seeing a countless times.
Neither have I.
So I may get to see it.
I have once.
I haven't. But I will.
It's well worth
it. And even new print.
New print? My thumbs have gone weird.
Okay, the news. So, Ireland has at least one film up for Oscar.
Woo!
Yes. So, the Irish language film On Bruntness, which is also a five-part TV series airing on TG Cahir later this month, has been put forward to be our contender for the best foreign language film.
This is something you mentioned before, though, about the fact we just don't make very many Irish language films.
No,
there's one reason to do it.
Yeah, Tom Collins' Kings was up the last time in 2007. So,
that's mostly Irish language, isn't it? From what I can remember.
Yeah, so it's been a while since
that was the last one.
No, wow. As if I was not there, it wasn't in English.
So as long as
it's produced in Ireland, but it wasn't in Irish.
Yeah, as long as it's not in English, you can put it forward. Or even if English is the secondary language, then you can put it forward because Australia has an entry that's half in Aborigine, half in English, which is airing at the Cork Film Festival. It's the opener.
Well, I did. I've been saying for a long time though that it should have some sort of funding in place for even between one and three Irish films, even every 2 years, like 100,000. Get scripts submitted, really good scripts. If you can get it directed, get it filmed, submit it for Oscars each year, build up a body of work, advertise the language, the films, country, culture, the whole thing. And
it's the same thing happens for shorts. So
yeah.
And you can put forward a foreign language short, you can put as well. So,
Quite a few Irish language shorts. This is why I don't understand why more feature length films aren't made in Irish.
Well, more people don't go see them.
People don't go see Irish films anyway. So, if you're not going to go see Irish films, maybe competing in market against other art house films that are not in English might be the best way rather than trying to compete in English market films against them.
I'll tell you what, just Hollywood write films. The script. Get a crew assembled and then just throw an Irish dictionary Brendan Gleeson's way. Problem solved.
It's going to be interesting to see if it can get into the nomination list because Xavier Dolan's Mommy is the Canadian entry, so we're going to say that's the front runner.
It's a strong competition there. And the Belgian entry is 2 days, one night.
Yeah, so that's the Dardenne.
French entry bafflingly is Saint Laurent, isn't it?
Yes,
not
blue is the warmest color. That's staggering.
What are you doing, you idiot, secretic idiots?
And that's not the first time they made such idiotic decisions. They could have gone with Holy Motors, they went with Untouchable. Or what is it?
I like it. But it's no Holy Motors.
It's no Holy Motors.
It's enjoyable. It does the same things a lot of films have done, but it doesn't quite well.
The point is, they've made some bad decisions.
Of the Dardennes. Yeah, there's a couple of new entries in this year, new countries that haven't ever entered before. So. Panama have never entered before, and Mauritania as well, but in a
country. That's not a country. I'm joking.
Apologies to all Mauritanians out there.
Boat.
We have to all our Mauritanians.
Sorry. The SS Mauritanian.
Oh my god.
Sorry. I'm in a funny mood also.
Oh, good.
I should go on holidays more often.
Yeah. You should.
I should.
She really should.
Stay there.
Yeah. Yay.
Also on Irish Film News, a release date has been announced for Stand By, which is, we've talked about before, it's Robin Roddenberg's comedy that stars Brian Gleeson and Jessica Parry. So so that's the November 14th. The trailer has been released and stuff on the site as well. So
looks good.
Yeah, it looks fun. You know, it looks a nice little rom-com. Just, you know.
It could do well. Pitch it right.
Right time of year for it. Too,
yeah,
you know?
Exactly. Mm.
Yep, the middle of November, so that would be...
People need cheering up, then.
Well, yeah, it's still 6 weeks to Christmas, and, you know...
Exactly. Oh, God, we're mentioning the C word already.
Well, yes, my wife has engaged full Christmas mode, so...
don't tell me. She's got a tree in already.
You've got to show her down.
I've stopped the tree being put up, but that's about as much as I've been able to do so far.
I don't think he's kidding, folks.
I get into full Christmas mode on Christmas Eve.
Hi, Sinead, by the way.
I insist on Halloween being over before Christmas can begin.
I insist on November being over before Christmas can begin.
Indeed, I agree.
Speaking of Halloween, Horror-Ton.
Yay!
Yes! So, Horror-Ton's at the end of the month.
Everybody's favourite time of year to be disappointed by a lot of films.
Yes.
Sorry.
You're not a die-hard horror.
I'm not a... I just don't think they're reviewed the same way as most films are, so... A lot of them come out and nobody goes to see them, then you realise most of them.
A lot of them are quite poor. But the thing is, you have to... If you look close enough, you find a lot of gems.
You will. I agree.
And the IFI have lined up a great lineup this year. It's opening with a horror film that has been getting a lot of great reviews, The Babadook.
It looks great. Trailer looks terrific.
Doesn't it, though? It's genuinely scary.
The Scott's got like three great double bills where they're showing Deadly Virtues and House at the End of Time, Hellraiser and Hellraiser 2.
It's been a long time since I've seen either of those.
And The Dead 2 and Blood Moon.
The retro screenings at Horrorthon are the best because you're watching them with a horror crowd. They'll know when to gasp. They'll know when to laugh. And Lord knows if you're watching Hellraiser 2, there's plenty of reason to laugh.
I remember seeing Suspiria there a good few years ago.
Oh,
good Lord, that's an experience.
Mm.
Then there's also, we also have a double, well, it's not a double bill, but two films by the same director. So Brain Damage and Frankenhooker. So these are
the great unsung Australian horrors.
Yeah, I can't wait to see these on the big screen because Frankenhooker is hilarious. I've seen it back in the 90s.
Yeah, it's one of those films that is hilarious, but you're not sure whether it means to be or not.
Oh,
now with the title of the Frankenhooker, it has to be to some extent.
Yeah,
that doesn't mean it's not good.
So,
Not good. I don't want to say the bad, but, you know.
Maybe you know what you mean.
Not good. I hope everyone else does. I scarcely do.
So we're going to be introduced by the director, and there's going to be Q&A afterwards.
Excellent.
Ooh, excellent. Yes.
Then we also have, we have a couple of Irish premieres, which is Monsters sequel, Monsters Dark Continent, the Pact sequel, The Pact 2.
Who wanted that?
The Babadook, which was mentioned there.
Babadook!
Yes. They're the big ones that are out there.
And of course, they also have a surprise film.
Yeah.
And they're also doing a little homage to Vincent Price with a few of his films.
Yeah, House of Usher, Theatre of Blood, The Abominable Dr. Fibs.
Oh, nice.
Of those three, I would strongly recommend Theatre of Blood. It's bloody, it's very smart, and Vincent Price.
Yeah. What more needs to be said?
Exactly.
So we look forward to Horror-Ton. So that's on the end of October.
Bank holiday weekend. Get to the IFI, folks.
You heard the man.
24th, 27th. So.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so also on later this month is Bram Stoker Fest, which my autocorrect changed to Brand Stoker Fest.
Yeah, I was wondering about that.
Brand Stoker.
Yeah.
We can get that name out there.
That's up there with Max Power, isn't it?
Max Power.
Bram Stoker, he's the man.
Mr. Simpson, I'm going to give you the only name that you spell correctly. From now on, you will be known as Max Power. His name's like my name. There's three ways to do things. The right way, the wrong way, and the Max Power way.
You don't make love with max power. You strap yourself in and feel the G's. Oh, good Lord.
Okay, stop there.
That's enough.
So the films are shown at the Bram Stoker. So Bram Stoker Fest is everything. It's theatre as well, films and literary events as well. And so it's everything to do with Bram Stoker. And
get to the films.
And Dracula. The films. we have the Irish premiere, two Irish premieres. The House of Styria, which is a 19th century vampire tale. The Curse of Styria. So that's going to be on the screen.
Okay.
Which I'm sure they'll change to Scream for the evening.
Also, Beautiful Noise, which is...
sounds beautiful.
It's the story of the Cocteau Twins and the Jesus and Mary Chain and My Bloody Valentine. And their music, and this has Wayne Kine, Trent Reznor, Billy Corgan, Robert Smith turn up to talk about them. So it's a documentary on the underground music movement in the late 20th century. So that's also on the screen.
Intriguing.
Then we have one of my favorite vampire films, The Lost Boys.
Hey!
A lot of the Corries.
Yeah. Oh, remember when Joel Schumacher used to make good films?
Yeah.
They crop up on occasion. They're in TV somewhere.
He made Tigerland after he made Batman Robin. So.
And he also made Phone Booth, which is surprisingly efficient at its better.
Did he make 8mm or so?
If he has Colin Farrell or Kiefer Sutherland, then you're seen to be in safe enough territory. Otherwise,
well, I don't know. It depends on where you stand on Veronica Guerin.
It's been a long time. Yeah. I remember thinking it was okay.
I try not to stand on Veronica Guerin.
You know what I mean. Oh, that's horrible. the point is, I think it's Blanchett. It's all about Blanchett.
Yeah.
Other than that film is not subtle.
No, but it's Schumacher. He's not subtle.
No, this is true. And bat nipples.
We have a concert film.
Ooh.
Okay.
23 Songs by The Cure. The Cure
is better than
Orange.
9 songs.
A different kind of film.
Very.
Yeah.
That's a concert film as well.
Yes, it is a concert
film.
It
is, you see. It just happens to be interspersed with lots of dull sex.
It's the best kind.
Hello, Mrs. Corn.
You keep telling yourself that.
Yes.
Then we have Jean Cocteau's Orphée.
Orphée!
Yeah.
Wow. This is impressive.
And his La Bête et la Bête.
La Bête. Yeah. Beauty and the Beast.
Exactly.
Probably the best rendition of on screen of that particular story.
I'm still going to go with Disney.
Yeah, I knew you would.
And then we have The Cabinet of Dr. Caligari.
Ah-ha!
With live music accompaniment.
When is that on? Can we confirm it? Because I need to see that.
I need to book that. Now.
That is on in Christ Church Cathedral on the 24th of October at 8 p.m. So.
What a seven.
Ooh.
Yep, so the Tree of Cano are doing
the
live music.
Sounds like a God's wet dream.
Easily one of the most influential German existential films.
It's great.
Essential and expressionist and
last time
influential
it,
in every possible
I think
way.
I seen it 2 years ago the last time I seen it, and it's still great.
Creepy, eh?
Yeah, it's great. Great camera work. Really great camera work.
So, yeah, so that's running at the same time as Horrorton, so that over to Bangkok.
Good Lord, that's a busy weekend for a...
Not to mention a few film events on Halloween, but we'll come to those at a later date.
Yes, we have 2 weeks to go before then. So
the witching month.
So two film festivals in Cork.
You waited around for a film festival in Cork to happen and two coming out again.
Yeah, our good friend Ronan Joel must be just in heaven with this news. Hi, Ronan.
Yeah, Ronan. So watch all the films of these two, please, first.
We have Indie Cork, which is this month from the 12th to the 19th of October. And then we have the 59th Cork Film Festival, which is on the 7th to the 16th of November. We'll start with Indie Cork because that one's up first.
Indie Cork? Surely it's just in Cork.
It's not the German film festival in Cork.
Excuse me, is this happening in Indie Cork? I've gone Dutch for some reason.
Okay, yeah, I don't know where you're going.
Kind of like... in Trading Places when she turns up and I'm from Sweden, she looks Swiss.
Yeah, shame the Cordish can get away with it.
Let's move on.
So they're going to show IndieCork's going to show 50 Irish shorts
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so there's a bunch of these in here that I saw in the Underground Cinema Film Festival, and but there's other ones that I haven't yet had a chance to see. But some of them are very, very, very good. So the one that won at the Underground Cinema Film Festival and the one that won at Fingal's Skunky Dog will be showing there. So it's a chance to check that out if you're in the Cork area.
Excellent.
Then there's also there's six Irish features showing as well. So one of them was made for a budget of 400 to 450 euro.
Really?
Yes, Ger Walsh's A Day Like Today. So I put the trailer up on the site yesterday. It's
450 euro.
Yeah.
Wow.
So it's about a chance meeting between two people. One is homeless. The other is a wife who's in a relationship that she's no longer happy in. And as they talk, more comes out about themselves and each other, and they
okay.
So that's the basic plot of it, but the trailer makes it look very good. It was filmed down around the IFSC, so I'm familiar with the general area, having worked there for years. I'm looking forward to seeing that. Then there's Dead Dogs, which it's the world premiere. It's a Cork feature film. It's Ian Ruby that's directing it, and it's about a guy trying to reconnect with his estranged family.
Mm.
But it turns out that he's not an easy guy to live with. His partner is trying to get away from him, and their neighbor is involved with a gangster. So, you know, there's lots of plots going on there. Different threads going on there. So other ones that are on in Ida is going to show down there.
Ah,
the last part of Indie Cork. And then Jeff Doyle's Jack and Ralph Plan a Murder.
Good fun with that movie.
Yeah.
That made me laugh. It makes me smile when I think about it. It's so silly.
That's like, that's exactly what the guy
it's
the
good.
Going
it's good fun. Good low budget fun.
Rift, which is 60 minutes long. That's about a guy who works in a call center, but it stars friend of the pod, Alan Buckley.
Hey, Alan.
Hey.
So I recommend checking that one out, just to say hello to Alan.
Hi.
Hello, Alan.
One Ocean, No Limits, which showed the Fingal, which is about a guy trying to row across the Atlantic Ocean.
As you do.
Yes, as you do. So,
yeah, sure.
Yeah. Well, he as part of a team of people who are attempting to row across the Atlantic Ocean, so that's... So there's lots for everyone down there. It's going to be crazy a couple of days. There's just so much on.
It's such a wonderful complaint.
trying to fit everything in will be problematic. But I'm looking at some of the short schedules, and Coda, which is very good, is showing there. Connor Hamill's Luke.
I'm always wary of films with a coda, though.
Yeah.
It's always a sappy way to end your film.
Brian Dean's Volkswagen Joe, which I've seen twice now, is very good. They're in the first program. In the second program, Durkert is the Irish language short.
I'm a big fan of that.
I am. I haven't seen any of the rest of them. In the third one, The Weather Report is showing. That showed over in Sky Road and went down very well.
The Weather Report, the new Le Carey life story.
It's about time.
Cameo by Michael Fish.
Third Irish short film strand opens with The Weather Report and closes with Skunky Dog. I really recommend you check that one out. It's on Saturday, the 18th of October at 4:15 in the gate.
If all else says, everybody can check out the details on IndieCork.com.
Yeah, so it's a massive schedule. There's just so much. It's so packed there.
More power to them, I'd say.
Yeah. It's great to see independent cinema like that being shown around the country, because it gets shown up here a bit, but it doesn't get a chance to.
A little Dublin centric sometimes.
Yeah, unfortunately. So.
No bad thing for me, but for everybody else.
So you can't tell from his accent.
Lord.
The Cork Film Festival is going to be interesting. Jarlett Regan is going to host a conversation with Pat Short. So, and he's doing a version of his Irish Run Abroad podcast with Pat Short in the Cork Opera House. Then Philip King is going to interview Christy Moore as well, and they're going to show two films. Come All You Dreamers, which is the concert film from 2009 with Christy Moore and Declan Sinnott, and then they're going to show the Christy, which is a documentary about Christy Moore as well. So, and an extended conversation with Pat Collins.
Oh, now you're talking. I saw him speaking to the IFI a couple years ago. when they showed a retrospective of his work, which I didn't really catch at the time, and I'm kicking myself, I didn't know, because I'd only seen Silence After It. And he was very good.
If it's anything near as good as Silence or Living in a Coded Land.
I still need to get back and see his stuff, but he's very entertaining and very forthright in his opinion. So if you're around for that, get to it. And he's a Cork man, obviously.
There's a new feature film competition in the in this year's Cork Film Festival, and that's going to give a prize of €1,000 as the Grabdom's Blood and Fela, or the Spirit of the Festival Award. And there's a number of contenders up: Cherry Pie from Switzerland, El Futuro from Spain, Hide and Seek from the UK, Manicamana from Nepal, and then The Tribe from the Ukraine, which Philip is going to check out for us when he's over in London at the film festival.
Looks nuts. Can't wait.
And Fergal Ward, Dixon Malou from Ireland and Japan.
What did you say was the name of one of those films? The first one?
Cherry Pie.
Ah! That gives me an interesting segue to our last news piece, but we'll come back to that.
Do you want to segue into it right now?
Why not? Damn good cherry pie. Damn good coffee. Jay, we're excited. Guess who's back?
Twin Peaks back
again.
Woo!
Lynchy's back.
Oh, tell your friends. The return of David Lynch to the director's chair.
The return of Colin McLaughlin to relevance.
Oh, you should follow him on Twitter.
As I say, it doesn't make a difference whether it's good, bad, or different. It's going to be approximately 9 new hours of David Lynch directing. Like, 9, that's like 4 films. We thought he was pretty much done.
I want him to reprise his role in Twin Peaks. I was wondering if I might trouble you for a cup of strong black coffee. I love how David Lynch talks. It's just not what you expect from America's premier surrealist.
He doesn't seem like he's of this planet.
That's why we'd love him.
Yeah. This is exciting news for people that love Twin Peaks, of which I am one, and Philip is one, and I presume you are
one. Yes, I am as well. Yeah.
We were all pretty excited about this. So 2016, I have to stay alive for a couple of more years.
We promise nothing, Jay.
No.
I'm very apprehensive and very excited at the same time.
There's no downside for me in this. There's absolutely none.
What if it's bad?
But there's going to be, it's going to be so many great flourishes and David Lynch directorial choices. And he's going to give free rein as Cable. It's like, even if it's not, it doesn't hit the heights of the couple of seasons that's already preceded it.
Well,
it's still going to be fun.
And even then, halfway through the second season, it fell flat on its back.
But there's some good stuff in it. Although, so re-watching at the moment, I'm just finishing season one, so when I get into the middle of season two, I'll let you know.
How's... Oh, man. Colour us tickled pink.
Yes, and we're going to move from there into the box office top 10.
At 10... It's what we did in our holiday.
Jay, tell us what you did on your holidays. Probably better than this.
I tell you what I didn't do. I didn't watch what we did in our holiday. Whatever the hell this is.
David Tennant, Rosamund Pike, and Billy Connolly.
No.
I watched United 93 and Flightpan on planes.
Good man.
So you didn't watch what we did in our holiday on holiday?
Yeah.
No, I'm sorry. If you'd have told me, I would have.
No, you wouldn't.
No, I wouldn't have, but I would have pretended.
Pity. It just looked pretty forgettable. Despite the presence of Billy Connolly.
Yeah.
Because we love Billy Connolly.
We used to love Billy Connolly.
We still love Billy Connolly.
Funny. But anyway, it's an aside.
So yeah, then he started doing Lotto ads. That's by the by.
At 9, Noble.
Yeah, doing okay, I think.
Is it?
Relatively speaking.
It's dropping out of the charts.
Having made €170,000,
which is decent for an Irish film.
I suppose. I just think, considering how much they've marketed it, were they aiming a bit higher?
I would have thought so. It was a bit of a push.
Just a touch.
And you would have thought maybe they were looking maybe 250,000, 300,000, 400,000 maybe. But
I'd gone 250,000 and it hasn't even got that. Won't get it at the end of this run anyway.
No.
200,000, give or take.
It'll be pushing for that. I don't know. It'll be touch and go there, whether it makes it. At 8.
Oh, this is all your fault.
10 weeks in the charts.
10 bloody weeks of this.
Guardians of the Galaxy.
And I could accept it if it was any bloody good. I'm sorry, Noel, I know you're a fan, but...
Yeah, I know, but
whatever about our stance on it, I mean, Jesus, 2.3 million in 10 weeks. I don't know.
Sometimes I despair.
I do, a little. It's fine, but by God, it's not nearly as good as that kind of money would suggest.
The Marvel machine just keeps chugging.
Do you know what they're doing, obviously?
Yeah.
They might have left me behind, I'm afraid, after this, but...
At 7 and 6 weeks in the charts. Oh, Let's Be Cops.
I really thought when I come back from holidays, this would be gone.
No, it's there.
It just won't go
Three
away.
Quarters of a million euro later.
God, people.
That's huge money.
That is incredible money for a film that didn't have the marketing that some of the other comedies this summer
had. It doesn't really have the cast either. I mean, it doesn't have that name, really. No. There was nothing.
But this is the thing. These kind of comedies come along once in a while. An R-rated comedy. And it just came along just as, say, Sex Tape was dying on its behind. And this came in, fill the gap. That'd be the kind of fun they'd go for there.
Probably for Sex Tape.
Yeah. And it's done phenomenal business.
Well, we've had a kind of run of them this year because we started with Bad Neighbors.
That's okay.
Which did mega business.
It did huge business.
22 Jump Street.
Great fun.
Did mega business as well. Into this. Let's Be Cops.
Yeah.
And then at 6, and doing great business because of one man, is the Liam Neeson starring A Walk Among the Tombstones.
Hi, buddy.
Hi, buddy.
We will never tire of that.
I still haven't seen this. This actually really might want to see, I think.
It's got solid reviews.
Yeah, it has.
One great thing about Walk Among the Tombstones is that it shows a different side of New York than what you usually see. So It doesn't use New York in the cliched, here's the
Empire State Building.
Or here's the Statue of Liberty type way. It shows neighborhoods, and it could be any American city. It just happens to be New York. You know?
Okay.
So it has come into some criticism for that, but for the fact that it's not a New York film. Terms of actually being of the city, it very much is a New York film, but... Yeah. Just not how we're used to seeing it.
Yeah, and I'm sure Liam Neeson is a convincing New York cop.
Hey, he's big and he can hold it. What more do you need him to do?
Hey, yo, hey, buddy.
Walk in here. And so on.
Too bad. At 5, first week in the charts, straight in at 5, is Dolphin Tale 2.
Now, perhaps needless to say, I haven't seen Dolphin Tale 1.
Funnily enough, Philip, I haven't seen Dolphin Tale either.
I know it has Morgan Freeman.
No?
No, haven't seen it. No.
But that did quite solid business all around when it came out originally. So, I suppose a sequel was inevitable, really.
Probably not the third one if this money's anything to go by. But I don't know how it's on that.
65,000, less than.
Well, one of the nice things about this is that they... IMC are doing a thing at the moment where they're doing sensory and autism special screenings, and Dolphin Tale is the one that they're going to be showing this weekend at selected cinemas around the country. So
that's good. I mean, I'm probably going to see it, but it's good.
It's good that they do that, and it's €2.50. Discounted as well.
Very family friendly.
Yeah. At 4, not at all family friendly, Denzel Washington in The Equalizer.
Now, Jay, you reviewed this for us a couple of weeks ago, and it looks very unremarkable, but it proves one thing. Denzel sells.
He does, and it also proves that there's a decent market for this kind of film. And I think a sequel's already been given the green light.
Yeah, I mean, see that.
The Sequelizer.
The Sequelizer.
Oh, they have to call it that. They really do.
It's not very good, but, Denzel does Denzel. It's mindlessly entertaining. In his own way, but it's not very good at all.
Mm. Oh, well.
Yeah.
At 3 and entertaining in all the right ways, Box Trolls.
Yeah, still haven't seen.
Over half a million 4 weeks in.
Yeah, and animation, so it will.
There you go.
But good, family-friendly, good animation. I mean, it's stop-motion, aided with CG, but it's got very... very different feel than most of the CG type films. I mean,
Leica are
good. We like Leica.
You have a Leica touch, if you will.
We like it,
a Leica of touch.
Right, stop punning. Now move on.
Good Lord, it's not very funny.
At 2, and its first week, Dracula Untold.
It should have stayed Untold, I think.
So this is getting mixed to good reviews around the place. So
from where?
To good,
Yeah,
I must have missed those ones.
Yeah.
3 stars seems to be the fairly common
team. Quote Bill Murray and Ed Wood, rave of the century.
Do I really have a face
seriously,
like a horse?
Compared to most of the Universal horrors lately, that 3 is good.
Can I ask a question about this, right? Dracula Untold, right? And by Frankenstein.
Uh-huh.
are part of this Universal Monster universe they're trying to build, right?
Yeah,
I'm assuming they're part of it. Like,
they're relaunching it, yeah.
Oh, dear.
This is going to be a fiasco, isn't it? I mean...
Yeah, well, a fiasco...
CGI-heavy fiasco.
Yeah, okay, it's going to be... thematically and stylistically, it will be a fiasco, but 181,000 opening weekend.
I don't think Guy Frankenstein's part of it, but definitely they're going to build it out of Dracula.
Well, they've just released a new Blu-ray box set of their classic monster movies, so...
yeah, well, they're good, though.
They are good. Very good.
Yeah. Lou Cheney, the Wolfman. That's such a... Not Benicio Del Toro.
Or Jack Nicholson, the Wolfman.
Yeah. Oh, no, they're going to remake Invisible Man, aren't they? There's only one Invisible Man is Claude Rains. Leave it alone.
It can't be.
That's different. Oh, Hollow Man's amazing. Don't you dare this Hollow Man.
You're only saying that because you get to see Runamitra in it.
No, it's because of Kevin Bacon.
But there's Kevin Bacon is the inherent problem in that film. What is the point of having a mad scientist movie when your mad scientist is already mad scientist to begin with? He's a prick, frankly.
Oh, we got Philip off. I love it.
I dig the effects. I don't dig the film.
Love Hollow Man. Go away.
Have you ever seen the sequel? Christian Slater is the Hollow Man too.
God,
no, I'm not watching
I
that.
Wish I were making that up. Yeah. Anyway,
Dracula Untold. Someone tried to make Darkman too, they've just been wrong.
Yeah,
yeah, especially when from behind.
I thought it was Darkman too.
There might be, but if there isn't, you just know.
Darkman's great.
Yeah, Darkman.
I just hope they would make a second one so that from behind all the bandages.
Hi, buddy. A really Darkman with that voice. No, it's just,
I'd love to see someone try.
So would I.
At one, straight into number one, €403,000 for the weekend, which is absolutely massive. €6,000 per location. David Fincher's Gone Girl.
Oh, boy.
Yes.
Yeah, I'm thrilled to see this as number one because I went into this not knowing what to expect. I haven't read the book. Now, for reference, I went with somebody who has read the book.
Okay.
She loved it even more than the book. And I have to say, as a piece of trash, it's incredibly classy. This is good. This is really good. It's Fincher getting his bite back after the relatively straight adaptation of Girl with a Dragon Tattoo. And it feels like a film that has a lot to say. I don't know if it's entirely sure what it wants to say, but it just feels like there's a lot under the microscope here. Marriage and deceit. And it's playing a lot of stuff. Maybe a bit too much. But it's surprisingly entertaining, really funny, and it's black comedy gold.
And set in Missouri rather than being set like in the upper or the northeastern America, or you know, where you normally see there's this a certain, type of film. You know?
Yeah, that's part of the story that these guys, Ben Affleck and Rosamund Pike's couple, they've moved from New York to there. So there's kind of fish out of water thing and a bit of a class conflict. Yeah, okay. And
the Ozarks is where it's.
Yeah, which is around the same area as Winter's Bone was set, as of all things.
Very different visual styles.
Very different everything. It's a fascinating film. I think it's doomed to divide audiences, but personally, I loved it.
Can I ask a question? Is it possible to actually ask this question without being a spoiler as an answer? But I'll ask anyway, and they can say no, I can't answer it or not.
Okay.
But
we're not about spoilers.
When we're talking about divided audiences, are we talking about content or filmmaking or, like, I presume we're talking about certain ways it goes,
It's story more than anything.
It's got to be the content because, in terms of the filmmaking, it's pure Fincher. It's glossy, it's stylish, it's great looking, great sounding. Everything is on form. It's the content. Some of it is so outlandish and sometimes quite nasty.
Yeah.
You kind of have to go with it. If you're going to get anything out of it, you have to surrender to it in a way. But as I say, there's a lot there if you're willing to go with it. Not least a fantastic, I think, A-list boosting turn from Rosamund Pike.
Yeah.
We're big fans here.
Yes. Yes.
That's all you need to say now.
Yep, absolutely.
It's a long way from Die Another Day.
For Rosamund Pike, yeah.
For everybody.
Well, here's the thing. If she gets Oscar nominated, she'll be the second one that starred in Die Another Day. Because Halle Berry was in Die Another Day as well, and she's won an Oscar. So that means
you're getting your hopes up.
That means Madonna could get something at some point.
Stop it. Stop it. And of course, it's all coming from Circle, because who directed the Vogue video? David Fincher.
Yeah.
Also, everybody.
Phil Collins has 2 Oscars, so anybody can win them. I mean, the value of an Oscar is not anything.
Phil Bastard Collins beat Amy Mann to an Oscar for Magnolia. That's criminal.
It is. I would agree.
Also, Crash won Best Picture.
Yeah. Also, Forrest Gumpfoot won Best Picture.
That's not good.
How Green Was My Valley won Best Picture.
We'll get there.
Ordinary People beat Raging Bull.
I agree, but I really like Ordinary People, though. And this is, I remember...
getting off point now.
Years ago, I was sat down to hate watch Ordinary People. Confidence, such as my hatred. I sat down with a really mean look on my face and I'm going to complain about how the injustice, I really like Ordinary People.
I can't
wait. It's not as good as Spectacle 3, but I really like it. It brings us to tears. I'm very tired of the word. Timothy
Hutton.
It was great. Absolutely starring.
He's a good actor. I always wonder where he's got to.
No, same here. I think he just props up bad TV shows, but he's very good in it. And it's basically the prototype for all those kind of films, like Good Will Hunting and stuff like that. Yeah. And, it's a troubled person, but it's great. And it's really, really good.
You just remind me, I really need to hate watch Gump again sometime.
Oh, we'll do that at the same time in Twitter about it. That's what we need to do. I hate it as well. Sometime. So I hate Hanks and I hate Forrest Gump. We'll set that up. We'll have a gay old time on Twitter and lose followers.
High five.
I will let my wife take over my Twitter account and so that she can defend it against the two of you.
Good luck.
Defend the indefensible.
Look, there's only one reason to defend that film.
Soundtrack.
Okay, two reasons. Robin Wright's in it.
Yeah. God bless her.
God bless Robin Wright.
And all who say that. I don't know where I'm going with this.
I don't know either. Let's delete that line, shall we?
Let's move on.
So what's out this week?
Oh, thank heavens.
Yeah.
So we're going to start up with the big release of the weekend, the big Irish release of the weekend, 71.
I saw the trailer for this afternoon. It looked great.
Doesn't it though?
Filmed in Northern Ireland, set during the Troubles. It sees a British soldier dispatched with his regiment from the Midlands in the UK over to keep the peace in Belfast. This is his first assignment. He's told you're not leaving the country, but he's entering an entirely different world. Jack O'Connell is in the lead. Killian Scott plays a IRA commando in it, a kind of local head of the IRA there, the impetuous upstart leader of the IRA. We have David Wilmot as well.
David Wilmot always in these things.
Yeah, he just pop up in there.
Charlie Murphy. And then Barry Keoghan is a young IRA, a young guy who's kind of drafted into the IRA. So it shows what happens is one of his first days there, he's sent out, the regiment is sent out to work with the RUC on the Falls Road to interrogate people there about hidden weapons. And so the inhabitants of the Falls Road come out to protest the presence of the RUC and the British Army there, and it turns violent. He gets trapped and left behind while the other scarper. And so this is a British soldier in unknown, possibly hostile territory, and he's trying to get out of
it. I see.
Yeah. So we're talking thriller as opposed to political thriller.
So
is that a little problematic? You're creating thriller out of fictionalized version of history.
But I think if you want to sell the movie, I think you might have to, because Northern Ireland political films generally die dead in the box office to some degree.
Yeah, I think you have to. Going to stand out,
you have to have something more.
This is a behind enemy's line type story. Exactly. But it's not. It shows the IRA and it shows the Catholic community in Northern Ireland. It shows so both the ones that are violently paramilitary and the ones that aren't. It shows the other side as well. It shows the Protestant community and some of the paramilitary aspects of that as well. So it's
has an awareness.
It never tries to show both, one versus the other, or this is right, this is wrong. It's more that this is what's happening to this guy.
Yeah.
Right.
So it's about the focus.
Really. Yeah. And so Jack O'Connell, he plays intense very well.
Yeah. Anybody who's seen Start Up will know that.
Yeah. Yes, indeed.
So this isn't, he's not going too far out of his wheelhouse in this particular one. He's under fire, he's scared and alone and obviously afraid, but still he's a hard chaw. He's he was raised in an orphanage, or it would appear that he was raised in an orphanage, and he has a younger confidant or possibly brother that he visits in this orphanage, and so that sort of sets the back scene for it. But it's a powerful film. It's a rough film. I mean, there's an awful lot of shaky cam in it.
It's a debut, way too much
shaky cam in it. It's Jan Domingue's debut film, yeah. So
he'll learn.
Yeah, he might want to tone down on the shaky cam.
Other than that, it
makes sense when he's being chased, when there's explosions going on around
him. Then you can cut away from that.
Exactly.
Yeah. He's clearly watched Bloody Sunday a few times before shooting.
When there's a guy, playing football with the younger lad, and they're kicking the ball around, it doesn't need to be shaky then. So on the whole, I had problems with it. That's the biggest problem that I had. The music, it's a David Holmes score, so the score is good, but it tends to be overused a little, and it overdoes the sound and some of the visual effects to kind of wipe out and to give a sense of sensory disruption. But
do you think you liked it, though? Jeff.
I did. I really did. I really enjoyed it. I thought that it's a very good film, but it's a rough diamond of a film. If it had been better polished, we would be looking at a brilliant film.
Well, I'll take good.
I'll take good.
No, it's very, very good. It's one of the better films that I've seen recently, and so
okay,
cool.
I recommend it to all.
Two thumbs up from that.
Yes, two thumbs way up there.
They've gone weird. I will squeeze in one more within a reference before this podcast is over. Help me, God.
So, the second film of the week, another one of the big ones, Annabelle. Horror spin-off of The Conjuring with the...
with no Patrick Wilson, no Vera Farmiga.
Yeah, and a haunted dog.
And a haunted dog.
Possibly the most ludicrous idea I've heard this year. It sounds atrocious.
You couldn't pay me to see it, so I'm not...
I didn't like The Conjuring either, so...
So we're going to move on.
I will say this. It opened in the US this week to not good reviews. There is one controversial thing about it. Alfred Woodard is in it, playing what is ostensibly the Mystic Black character. Who is still writing these in this day and age?
But it barely got beaten by Gonger at the box office.
Yeah.
It did.
These movies are indestructible, and... I imagine the budgets are pretty small as well. So
you're probably releasing a horror film in October. Do the math.
But the thing of it is, it'll make, like, the budget's long enough. It's probably made a good chunk of that back already. It's going to open big probably around the world a bit.
Come on, Gone Girl. Do your stuff. Everybody go see Gone Girl. That's the point.
People have.
Do it again.
The other big release playing into Jason's wheelhouse... Young adult adaptation.
For F's sake. How many more of these are there?
Jesus Christ. The Maze Runner.
I don't care what it's about, but tell me anyway.
The difference in this one is, instead of being centered around a female lead, it's centered around a male lead. The basic plot is this guy ends up in an area which is known as the Glade. He doesn't know how he got there. He can't remember who he is or what, anything about himself. He's surrounded entirely by other guys of roughly the same age as him who all don't know how they got there. Right, so it's all guys, they're all in this area, which seems to be relatively safe, but there's a gigantic maze.
I was hoping it was a farmer, that's where the name came from. Well, that's...
So there's a gigantic maze there, and every morning the maze opens, and every evening the maze closes, and during the day they send runners in to try find a path through the maze, but there are things in the maze.
We're not talking hedges.
No, we're talking monsters, and...
Unless one of them is shaped like Jack Nicholson wielding an axe, I'm out.
Yeah, so this is the basic premise, dystopian type drama.
Is there any other kind of future drama? They're all dystopian. God's sake. Isn't it possible we could make a better future
also,
for ourselves?
Isn't there anybody that's like 50 coming past this?
No, the old people are...
100% you have the levels, man.
To tell you where the older people are would ruin...
I'm under the face, I don't care. But anyway,
it doesn't matter. They're all on a farm somewhere being farmed a la Ross Perot's dreams.
No. But it's got good reviews. It starts off strongly, but then tapers off. The book is
problematic. So it's part of a series, but it's already been out in the States, already done well there, and the sequel is already...
Great, we've got to look forward to podcast 51 to talk about it.
The sequel is called The Scorch Trials. So that's
Scorch Trials.
I don't care, I wish it was a scorched earth at this moment. I feel very peculiar.
Moving on to someone that we like.
I think we should go outside.
Susan Sarandon.
Susan's not much made good stuff lately. No, this
what's,
may
what's
not be.
Done? What's
she's
done
made
now?
A film called The Calling,
which is
out this week.
It's the most generic title of the year.
And I've generally not heard good stuff.
I've no idea.
I've heard very mixed things about The Calling. It's averaging 5.8 on IMDb.
Detective story.
Not good. So it's... she plays a detective called Hazel McAuliffe, who lives in the sleepy town of Fort Dundas.
Dundas, composer on With Neil Nye. Big shout out.
And then a series of gruesome murders.
Any reason why I should care?
It's got Donald Sutherland in it, Ellen Burstyn, Topher Grace.
That's a surprisingly solid cast.
Yeah.
But you know, it's just kind of dull, boring. Ordering on wretched.
There has been no advertising for this. I think they're just dumping it in service and hoping it'll get buried. Sorry, Sue.
Moving,
back to the drawing board.
Moving swiftly on. Effie Gray.
That sounds Gray.
What the Effie?
Effie Gray is. It's another one of those sort of Dakota Fanning stars, and it's got Emma Thompson.
Okay, you kind of have my attention here. Keep going.
Right. It's a look at the mysterious relationship between Victorian art critic John Ruskin and his teenage bride, Effie Gray.
So it's The Invisible Woman, but sans Ralph Fiennes. That's a very underappreciated film from last year, by the way, The Invisible Woman.
Never seen it.
Not bad. Check it out.
So,
I list. Oh, no.
Are you?
I listen to what you say.
Greg Wise plays John Ruskin. He's Russell Tovey's in it. Robbie Coltrane.
Hey,
Robbie Coltrane's still talking about stuff.
Julie Walters.
Yay!
Tom Sturridge, Derek Jacobi. So it's got a
David Suchet.
This has one of these wordy English films that are ever so dull, but probably solidly made.
I'd almost definitely go watch it just because Emma Thompson's in it. Emma Thompson is just.
I do love Emma Thompson, but this doesn't sound like.
You're probably right. You're probably right. Oh well.
I usually am.
Well, I didn't want to say, but yeah.
Then we have The Rewrite, which is also out this week.
The Rewrite. This is just opening itself up to so many critical puns.
The Rewrite stars Marissa Tomei and Hugh Grant.
Oh, Hugh Grant. I thought he was done with it.
Hugh Grant, now this is going to be a stretch for him, is an Oscar winner writer who...
Who
leaves Hollywood to teach...
Let me guess, he's charmingly befuddled.
He goes to teach screenwriting at a college on the East Coast where he falls for a single mom who's taking classes.
Oh, I love it.
There.
Jesus. I'll tell you something, right? Comment. 71 aside, this has to be possibly the worst sounding week of films I've heard in quite some time.
Oh dear. And I bet we have more to come, do we?
The other title, the title that they had before they called it The Rewrite, was The Reluctant Professor.
God,
if that makes the top 50 next week, I'll be amazed.
And the last film of the week, I'm back to Ireland, is Small Engine Repair director Niall Heary's new film, Gold.
Always Believe in Yourself. I'm sorry, I had to be done.
Not that goal.
With David Wilmot again.
Yes.
And another film
for this, and as Macy Williams. It looks pretty good, actually, the trailer.
Yes. And
Jason Nesbitt with point hash.
And Niall Heary, Small Engine Repair was very good. So it's also, James Nesbitt, Kerry Condon's in it as well. David McSavage. But we won't talk about him. You won't talk about him. I've no time for David McSavage.
But you wouldn't know it from your demeanor.
we'll get this story out of Niall probably on his deathbed in New York.
Gold is a comedy. It's about an estranged father who's returned to his hometown after 10 years being away in order to reconnect with his daughter and his ex-wife. So Maisie Williams plays the daughter, Kerry Condon plays the ex-wife.
Yeah. What I want to know is, does it feature a Spandau Ballet soundtrack?
No, it doesn't.
So far, so kind of samey story, but the trailer looks kind of fun and looks pretty well acted.
Yeah, and it's got a good cast. Mike Savage aside.
You've got to start harping on about this.
So, yeah.
Next week's special guest.
We have a surprise for you.
So, recommendation of the week, 71. Gold as well.
At 71, I'd say, but if you're of those films that are coming out, please don't go see anything else. The Ultimate Dreadful Gold sounds decent. I'm certainly the first third. Yeah.
That said, though, we expect to hear your review of the rewrite next week.
You couldn't pay me enough. Although I will have seen Gunger, so I look forward to chatting with
you. Oh, I'm looking forward to hearing what you think about that.
On that note, we leave it for the week. Thanks very much.
Toodaloo.
Bye.